I just have to run through some of your comments. I don't have to, I want to. On the back of some of the conversations we had in the first hour, a caller says, I think maybe it's removing the normal Muncher Ann, so that's easier to introduce the he, her, says a listener. Another, in relation to speed, anything that reduces speed on the roads is great. Why aren't black boxes used more widely, especially for drivers under 25, instead of self-signing up? It should be mandatory for all 25s. As I say, I've seen them in action, and I know there might be some pushback from new drivers, and I don't think it necessarily has to be younger drivers or older drivers. It should be any new drivers. You get used to it really quickly, and it does mean that you observe the 60s, the 50s, the 80s, the 100s, because if you don't, you get flagged by the insurance company and your insurance either goes up or it can't even be discontinued. It's a small price to get on the road, especially if your insurance is cheaper, is it not? Driving licence and NTT tests are going up. Can anyone explain why the RSA, who are failing in their main messaging to the public to reduce road traffic collisions, are allowed to increase their costs? Well, they're losing money hand over fist. And the proposal is to switch the RSA into two different bodies. One focusing on road safety and the other focusing on NCT driver's licence, etc. Cost of driving licences are going up, once again increasing the cost of living for everyone. €5 might not be a lot for well-off families, but it's the difference in bread and milk for many families indeed, and €5 going on in January to the NCT as well. As it relates to rates in the north of Ireland, the rate payers get services for it. In the south, the number of quangos is alarming. I think I read that one. Great to see the back of the Green Party. Pity they weren't completely wiped out. They're still strong on local authorities. They have a TD and potentially a senator. Let's talk the Green Party and carbon taxes, which affected some of the poorest people in the state. As it relates to littering, and this is what it is, the cable ties are still on poles from election posters. They look like rubbish. If you or I littered, we would be fined. I think that candidate should be fined too. And I think some fines were dished out down the country. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I believe they were. Two old war parties back in government again. I would say same old stuff from them. Another bike shed crisis. Move on. Nothing to see here. This country is weak. It has zero chance to change government. The people don't vote for it. Only ourselves to blame, they say. Back to rates. I would say that the council will pass on the commercial rates to the householders in a form of property tax. Just watch this space, folks. Greg, when did you last pay your bins? It's not 11 a lift. The black bin is 15. Well, it is. I'd have to go through. Yeah, it is. It's 33 for me anyway. Every three lifts, it's 11 quid a lift. I'll have to double check that, but it's 11 quid a lift for me anyway. Let me see. The NCT is a Spanish-owned company. Why are we allowing increases which are going to a foreign company simply for the purpose of profit? Re the formation of the next government. Mary Hart mentioned a steady hand, re Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. A steady hand, in my opinion, is normalising homelessness, the housing crisis, overspending, a housing crisis, overspend and more overspend, etc. Another caller says, where are you getting €100 property tax from? Mine is €360 a year. For that, in rural Donegal, we avail of nothing. We've no footpaths, no streetlights, and we're on a septic tank. We pay for our bins separately as well. Back to government formation. To be honest, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael have created a dictatorship in the Republic of Ireland. They've been the ruling parties for 100 years in a capitalist system. I mean, there's been lots of other parties voted as part of governments as well. It's not just been Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And, you know, dictatorship's a very strong word. They've been elected consistently by the people over the course of 100 years. It is not the case that they inserted themselves into government and said, we're not moving. They've served their terms in government, went before the people, and either or both have been elected for the 100 years. I mean, that is, whether you like it or not, democracy. Property tax means every house has to be registered, so people can't buy property with money laundering. So it's a good thing, as long as it doesn't increase too much, believes the listener. Another, Greg, tell Mary Hart that in Northern Ireland they get services, bins, etc. We pay extra for those charges here. And I think Mary did actually point that out herself. Last one here. It's a bit of a shout out. Garda Finian Kelly, Glenn McQuinn Letterkenny, who passed out in Templemore this morning, which is terminology for qualifying. Congratulations from all your cousins in Sligo. Now, we are joined in studio by Sally Duddy. Sally has waived her right to anonymity to expose her abuser and to take back control of her life. And speaking publicly, Sally, good morning to you and thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. You don't need those, okay. No, that's fine.
Good morning.
How difficult a decision, before we get into really how we found ourselves here, how did you struggle with the decision about going public?
Yeah, but in order to get him named, I waived my rights then.
Yeah, and that's what was important to you.
Yeah,
and also part of speaking out and part of doing this type of stuff, which is really difficult, and I do appreciate that, okay? So breathe and relax as much as you can, okay? Is it to sort of maybe encourage others that...
Oh, definitely, yeah. You know, look, I waited 47 years and, you know, I just hope that people can, you know, it's not too late. And I wish people would have the strength to come forward, you know?
Right. I'm going to ask, and I only want you to answer and speak about anything that you're comfortable about. Okay. I'm not going to probe or anything like that there. Mm-hmm. But you first became the victim of abuse at the age of 8. Mm-hmm. How much do you want to talk about that?
It happened. I can't say dates. I just know years. So it was between 1976 and 78, and I was 8 and 9 then. Like, you know, so that's when the abuse started.
And John Doherty of Ballymacool in Letterkenny, who's in prison at the moment,
yes.
He was 17, 18 at the time, and he would come in and try and endear himself to you and pretend that you were playing games and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And did you, at that time as an 8-year-old, did you, like, what impact did it have on you?
I sort of hated seeing him coming in. Do you know, he was just always in the house. Do you know, he was a neighbour and he just used to always come into our house. Like, we were a big family, there were 7 girls and 2 boys, you know.
Mm.
And he was just there, do you know. But why he thought he could target me, or, you know, I was blaming myself then because I thought, right, did I do something?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Well, 8-year-old, you didn't.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Yeah. I know. And you would dread seeing him then?
Yeah.
Because you would associate his face and his smile with those experiences.
Yeah.
Did you know what was happening was wrong?
No, I suppose the last time, yes. Yeah. I thought it wasn't right. Do you know? Like, even though I was 9, you know, my sister would have sent me over for a message and I wouldn't. I knew not to go to his house. I didn't want to go to his house.
Yeah.
So I sat in a hedge, you know, and I let on then I went back to my sister and I let on that there was nobody at home.
Yeah, so even in that age, you were protecting yourself, really. God help you. Yeah. And I really don't want to upset you, Sally.
No, it's fine.
But I hope listeners understand this is very traumatic. And do you know what, Sally? Even in your reaction, it is going to reach people. And I know that's what you want to do, okay? So don't you worry about that.
Yeah.
But if at any point you want to stop, just tell me, okay?
No.
Were you able to tell anyone or did you have to deal with this yourself?
No, that was for a good wee while, you know. And then when we moved then from Virginia to St. Johnson, like, so it was relief, do you know? And
what age were you at that stage?
We were 1978, so I would have been 10.
Okay.
You know, and so, as I said, we moved back to... And I suppose I didn't understand the... But I just thought, right, I'm not going to see him again. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm away from him, do you know? But still never told anybody. Then I told my sister in later years, do you know? And
so you had to deal with this all the while by yourself.
Yeah, well, that was terrible if I said to anybody that, you know.
I know, but I always find this personally the most upsetting things that a wee child would have to not only have to go through with that, but also try and process it themselves. And your wee thought processes to try and protect yourself from things. That's
it.
It just adds to the terribleness of the situation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So How did it affect you as time passed? You said that once you moved that you wouldn't see him again, and you obviously were pleased by that.
Aye.
You didn't see him again, did you?
Well, I did, yeah.
Right, talk to me about that.
I was in my teenagers, and my brother was in the army, and I left school at 15, you know, because I just...
So did I.
Did you?
Yes, I did, yes.
But I just felt that, you know, I just felt I wasn't good enough, and I never educated myself. And you know, yeah. Even yet, I struggle to do a course. I'll sabotage myself, and I'll just say, ah, you're not worth it.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Oh.
And
sure, look what you have sitting to your left, what you've achieved. You can do anything.
My children are brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can do anything you want.
But, and as I said, one morning then, my job then, or Frankie would have given me a few pounds at the end of the week too, because I would iron his clothes and things got there, like. And I'd said to Mama, I said, you know, I'll get Frankie up in the morning, you know. And then the next thing, this one morning, about 6 o'clock, and there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and there he was.
God, wow.
Yeah.
You must have just frozen your tracks, did you?
Yeah, I thought, I couldn't believe it. And then I went upstairs to Frankie, and then I just said, Frankie, will you please come down? Do you know? And, I was shaking, you know. But, that was that. And then I didn't meet him again then until 5th of November 1999. We had a reunion, a school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd asked my sister to point him out to me, because it'd been years since I'd seen him.
Yeah.
And I asked my other sister then, would you come with me to the toilet? And I says, Marie, I'm going to say it to him. And then Marie didn't know what I was doing. Like, she said, I didn't know what you were saying to him. So, and I just thought, right, I'll get the courage now to go over. Mm. And I did, and I passed him out, and I says, hello. And I said, do you remember me? And he says, no. And I says, well, I remember you. And then I cursed. But, I went away shaking.
What was his reaction? Did you told him
what
he did?
Yeah, he denied me. Yeah, he denied. No, I didn't know you. I said, well, I'm Sally Dolly.
Well, he denied he knew you at all.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Let alone.
And I says, I'm Frankie Dolly's sister, do you know? Mm. And because him and Frankie worked in the army, you know, they joined the army around the same time and whatnot. Like, but, you know, Frankie wouldn't have been pals with him.
Yeah.
And then in 2001 then, you know, I live in Liston Vernon now. I married David Flanagan, and we moved. I went down to Liston Vernon in 1985.
Mm.
And next thing then, I heard he was working in our town, and he was working with our Frankie, but Frankie, you know, he didn't know anything.
Yep,
no.
Yep.
And then in 2001, then when Frankie realised, one of my other sisters had said to Frankie, and he just left work then. He said he couldn't work with him anymore. But I was just so angry, Greg, because I thought, how dare he come into our town, do you know?
Mm.
And, if anybody said, oh, we'll go to the restaurant, no, because he was there, you know, or the fear that he was there, do you know? And, I just thought that I was strong enough to go after him, you know, and then I just thought, oh, do you know, I just went back to that childhood again, do you know?
Just regressed right back to Sally,
it's power, I suppose, Greg, and it was my fault because I allowed him, you know. I had to understand I was only 8.
Yeah.
You know, and...
But you still seem to... That seems to... And I hope you can rid yourself of that. You still some way seem to blame yourself.
Aye, exactly.
But you know, it's...
No, exactly. I know it was my fault.
You know, because as you would know, us as parents, you know... All we do and what our role is to do is to make sure our kids are safe and happy and secure. Make sure they've got a roof over their head, that no one's harmed them.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and we would never blame them for anything like that.
No.
So you need to stop
blaming
yourself.
No, I know.
You really do, because you were an innocent person that a horrible individual took advantage of.
Yeah, and you know, somebody said to me, you just have to find that child again now.
Yeah.
You know, and apologise to her, do you know...
But that being said, you have to give yourself space too, I presume, Sally, because, you know, you've went through, and we'll catch up to where we are now, but even going through the whole trial this year and reliving that again, it's going to take you a little while to settle yourself.
Yeah, I'm in a blur, you know.
Exactly, it's tough.
Yeah, Do you know, but I'm, you know, at the same time, I'm so glad that I got him into court.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, because you were sort of up towards the early 2020s, I think, and you thought that you could cope with it and all that type of stuff. But you had a very, very difficult 2022, didn't you, personally?
Yeah. And I worked as a healthcare assistant in an elderly care hospital, and I love my job, Greg. Mm. But I was on nights, and, it always seemed to me when I was on nights, I'd get the call then to say that, oh, sorry, court's not going ahead. You know, it's postponed. And between, I suppose, COVID and whatnot, and I just had a brick wall.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, next morning, didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of bed. I was lying, crying. I didn't know what it was like, do you know? And it was mad, and I couldn't face anybody.
Amazing.
You know, I was lying in bed, and I went on the phone talking to my sister, and I was crying. I said, Maria, I don't know what to do, like, do you know? And
they call it a breakdown, but I think you just shut down.
I think so.
You shut
down. And, you know, how simple it is to make our beds, and I couldn't even do that, Craig.
Yeah.
You know? I went from the bed to the couch. You know, my grandchildren used to come in and say, Nana, why are you still on the couch? Yeah. And I'd say, oh, I says, because I'm tired. I wasn't able, Greg.
Yeah. And also, too, what I presume, it does happen, Sally, and I presume happens to you, you sort of start evaluating it and you say, I've got my lovely grandchildren here. Why is that not making me feel good?
That's right. Exactly.
And that's how then you go further down into the darkness then, don't
we? Would feed the birds, like, you know, and you know, Kyra and Jake would come in and they'd say, Nana, do you know, we feed the birds, and even to do that, you know, but I wanted to keep some wee bit of routine for them, because all they seen was me lying in the couch.
And at this stage, you had gone to the authorities, so you was a trial pending at that point?
I was still, I went in 2000, and Mammy died in 2014.
Yeah.
And, Mammy, I had told Mammy in the 80s, you know, and asked Mammy what we're doing. She said, did he bother, bringing, Mammy wouldn't, that generation. I do understand.
There's the brush.
And even though I went through anger after she died, and I thought, right, she should have protected me. But I do understand.
But we also, I suppose, maybe we don't know what, in the quiet times, how she might have felt guilty. You know, did she do enough to protect you?
That's it.
And this is the ripple effect of the actions of an individual.
Yeah.
It affects so many people in so many different ways. Yeah. Some we know, and others we don't know really what they went through or how they dealt with things.
You know, this is that, you don't judge anyone. And then as a result, then my children, I was so overprotective. You know, Kenesha, when somebody came into our house one time and they says, who's that wee one? And I says, that's her baby. And they says, you only three children. And I says, no. I says, because we would never let her walk to school or do you know, her daddy took her everywhere. We just, you know, they suffered, you know. Yeah. I think I made a tell you when you just got a wee bit older. But do you know, I was just so overprotective of them, you know? And if they come and say that to me, Greg, I would, I'd go for them, you know, I would, do you know? But I know the other side of the coin, I understand
that generation. Yeah, but again, Sally, even the smallest decisions, you're giving yourself such a hard time for. I really wish you would try not to. Because it's so perfectly understandable that you'd be so protective.
You know. But then I just feel that I took their childhood. Do you know?
Yeah. Well,
even friends, they never slept over. Do you know? We'd come up to Donegal, and we'd sleep with, my sister, and that was it. They didn't go to neighbours or anything.
You mentioned your mum's passing in 2014, Sally. Had you always intended in pursuing John Doherty?
Never. I promised Mammy, because when I said to Mammy, I said, Mammy, I'll never do anything while you're still alive. And I still never dreamt that I would.
Did she talk to you at that time, if you don't mind me asking,
about
you'd bring shame onto the family?
Yeah, she said I wouldn't. Yeah, the daughter, she said,
So that what that does is that compounds potential guilt that you feel.
Aye, I suppose.
So you're guilty as a victim and you'd be guilty as a reporter.
Yeah. Whistleblower or whatever. I really, well, I suppose I thought I would have Mammy forever. And then after Mammy died, then I thought, no, you know what, I can't bring shame on her. And I told my siblings and I said, right, boys, I'm going to go after this boy.
And what did they say?
They were 100% blind.
Good.
Yeah. You know, my family's been brilliant. Do you know?
What was your experience in reporting it like? Now, I mean, obviously, to have to say stuff out loud to a stranger, you know.
And very personal, yeah.
It's very, very tough, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But how tough was it for you?
I was lucky in the sense that our kitty, you know, there was a guard that we knew,
right.
You know, and I could trust him. And then when we talked to him, then he guided us through and he says, right, because we lived in St. Johnson, but because it happened in 1976-78, I had to go back to Burnfoot for where the abuse happened. So I had to go back there and give my official statement, which I did on the October the 2014, do you know? And it's been a long road, you know, to get to court. Like, and I'm telling you, Greg, there was times I just thought, oh, you know, when Siobhan would ring me, you know, and the liaison, and she says, oh, Sally, you know, I'm sorry, it's, you know, postponed again or whatever. Like, and I remember saying to her, you know what, Siobhan, forget about it.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
I can't do this for another year
exactly.
or another 18
you know,
months.
And so, like, I'm so glad. Look, I did pursue it. It was hard. And, you know, I used to come up and down Donegal saying, oh, the court's on the day. And then, you know, another case would be in and, you know, it didn't happen, like, you know. Mm. And, you know, just going down the road then again, you're just deflated. You know, and I thought, and as I said then, I thought, oh God, how am I going to go through this? You know, but look at it, I pursued it. It's unfortunately, it's just the system.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm. And just in terms of sort of the detail, I mean, obviously you're able to explain what happened to you, but you've got a range of dates, okay?
Yeah.
Are they sympathetic to that, just with historic cases? And I'm just thinking to anybody listening, do they be sympathetic to the fact that how would an 8-year-old be able to remember specifically a date?
Yeah.
Obviously, you can remember the traumatic experience.
But like, exactly. No, they were good. Like, but as you say, I had to sit and tell a stranger the very intimate details. And they were great. Do you know? And, you know, that's... I definitely didn't have a bad experience with them. As I said, it was just the time and it's... Would they believe me? You know, and as they said, it was wee silly things. Like, we all remember when Daddy died. He died in November, you know, 1978. So we all know that there. And, you know, there were certain things. And, like, we had a door that had no lock on it, so you had to use a spoon, you know. And then, but I remember that. And then when I'd said it to my siblings, I said, that's right, you know. Mm. You know,
And then with certain things, Sally, your brain's going to try and protect you.
That's right.
Your brain's going to say, right, this is not good for you, Sally. I'm going to try and bury this down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's understandable, isn't it?
That's it. Like, you know, and maybe, that's it. I probably would have went crack, Greg, if you know, I definitely would have, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I'm outside looking in.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I really can. I think I can understand it. I can't imagine what you went through.
Yeah.
But I think I can understand everything you're saying.
Yeah.
And before we get to the trial, was there ups and downs in life? Look, obviously, you know, you met someone, got married, you've got a lovely family now, your mother passed away, and there's lots of stuff going in there. However present was the abuse that you suffered, was it always there? And did it affect maybe your trust in men?
Yeah.
Or even how you...
Yeah.
Sometimes, I've heard that sometimes how they demonstrate their love for their kids even can be affected by such a traumatic
experience.
That's right,
But like, oh God, I definitely was well overprotective of the lads, you know? And even if I go away, if I was going out for a drink with friends or whatever, and I'd say to David, you make sure you watch the weans, and do you know? Yeah, it was all, like... It wasn't every day, but like it definitely, like I had no confidence.
There.
Yeah,
it's always there.
Yeah,
it's always there.
And you know, and I was conscious of time, and I just thought, right, you know, he's still alive. And, you know, hopefully, you know, a lot of people won't get justice because their abusers are gone, like, you know. And I just thought, no, I need to pursue this here. And as I said, as long as it took Greg, but, and if he only done one night, at least, do you know.
Yeah, he's doing more than that. So bring us to court then. What was that like? Were you, did you have to, I presume you might have had a choice. I don't know if you took it or not, but face your abuser.
Yeah, I never looked at him.
You didn't look at him?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Do you know? I was aware he was there, you, do you know, but no, I couldn't. Do you know, so, it, like, I suppose it was still a certain amount of power in his part, but Greg,
I think you have the power here in this show, but I take your point.
Yeah.
And in terms of, I didn't see the full transcript of the court, but did you feel any victim blaming? Did you feel understood? Did you feel protected in the court environment?
The barrister was lovely to me, you know, and like the very first day that I was, you know, giving my evidence, and the barrister was on our side was lovely, and she and I just froze, and she says, "Just tell your story, Sally."
Yeah.
Do you know? And
but that's another huge step because you're doing it in front of 12 of your peers.
Yeah. That's
whoever
right.
else might
you know,
be there.
And exactly, and you know, you have to go through all that detail, like, you know, and like, this is it, like, my brother says to me, Sally, you're telling the truth, you know, you're not going to, you know, I said, sometimes I was imagining, did this happen, you know, and, you know, I thought, ah, no, maybe it didn't, but like, Greg, I remember the wee details.
You know exactly what happened to you.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you can ever second guess your confidence or your bravery or what you can achieve, because all I'm hearing so far is every single thing that you've had to overcome, you've overcome. Whether it's speaking to two individuals in a room, whether it's speaking in front of a court, whether it's raising a lovely family, everything about you is actually what you've achieved and what you're capable of doing. You just need to realise that maybe at some point.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, you can't self-praise, no praise.
Well, then I'll praise you and you sit there and be quiet. what I'm actually saying to you is I'm glancing over at messages from listeners, and that's what they're trying to say to you as well. They're offering you an awful lot of love and support. And a word that keeps coming up, and I'll run through them later on, is heal.
Yeah.
Our listeners want you to heal now.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, so that's a piece of work for you.
Who I'm going to be after this, I don't know. You know, I'm still going to be Sally Duddy, but, you know.
So, in the court, the jury found in your favour. Judge Aylmer sentenced John Doherty of Ballymacool Letterkenny to concurrent sentences of 21 months on two indecent assault counts and another more serious count of indecent assault. He was also sentenced to 21 months in prison, with that sentence to run consecutively, meaning a total of 3.5 years in prison. And I think, as you said earlier on, one night in prison would have validated you and what you said.
People believe me.
Yeah.
11 jurors believe me. And I thought, right, you know, and I know he's, like, unfortunately, he's still denying it, but I can't, you know, I can't take on his, you know, like, I just feel vindicated or, you know.
Listen, you've got 12 jurors, a judge, you know, the public opinion on your side. Is it still important if he had said, right, okay, I did it?
I would have loved him to have said that there.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, but...
he'd have been the final piece, maybe, of the jigsaw.
You know, and, you know, I just... Exactly, and I thought, right, he did admit it, but sure, he's not, you know? And, I would have loved that, you know? Yeah. But then, by the same token, you know, he could have said it in the early and saved me that, or saved me the court case, do you know?
Was he, in a way, trying to keep control, trying to keep punishing you?
Yeah.
But you're here, you're outside, and you've got your freedom. It's been a tough old time for you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think you were so brave in that you maybe have, and I don't know, Sally, but it sounds to me that maybe you found sort of a level that you could live your life at with ups and downs, and this is... chucked all of that. You have to start a new life as to
exactly.
how you
run through it. You know, as I said, you know, I don't know who I am, but
it doesn't take your experience away from you. We have to understand that as well, and that's something too that, you know, Sometimes we think if a verdict goes a certain way or if we get a certain result, all of a sudden we'll be it's fixed.
I'm not fixed, I suppose. Yeah.
The thing is, as a lot of people saying as well is now, as best as you can, to try and look forward. That you've settled not your emotions and what you went through, but you've settled that darkness that hung over you until such time as you got justice.
That's it.
And now it's a case of trying to get to a space where you can move forward and look on.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier on, and you said earlier on, all this too is about helping and encouraging people. And I think it's real too. You know, this is not a... This is not a a story that the ending, we haven't had the ending yet, right? Because you're still working towards the ending. And it doesn't sugarcoat it. It's tough. But what it does show, Sally, is that even with the passage of time, you can hold a person responsible for terrible acts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as I said, many a creditor isn't going to get a chance, do you know? And I just feel right. I got justice for some people, you know, and maybe that hopefully it gives hope to people, you know, that it doesn't matter how long time passes, Greg, that you know, go after them.
Yeah,
you know, that sounds very threatening, but
it's
you
just
know what
how
I mean?
We normally would speak. Yeah, people understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah. It's not threatening at all. It's pursue it and what
yes.
Good for you, Sally, coming on and speaking on Highland. Look ahead now and don't look back. All the best in the future. That comes from a lady listener.
Thank you.
Such a wonderful, brave, strong lady. I hope she's able to heal now. Sally, be very, very proud of yourself. You're amazing to speak out to help other women. As a person who went through a similar experience and then be trapped in a very controlled relationship for over 6 years, it's soul-destroying.
Yeah.
Give yourself forgiveness.
Yeah.
And time now to heal. You will, and I'll keep you in my prayers. That's from another listener.
Thank you.
Tricia and Seamus are listening, and they say, I'd like to wish Sally all the best. I'm listening at the moment, and fair play to her. And just in case you had any doubts, there you are.
People are
very encouraged by it. And you know what? It can be a similar experience to yours, but we can apply your story to different circumstances and you'll give hopefully people hope and what have you. But as I say, the big message coming through is fair play to you and people want you to feel better now. Sally is a credit to her family and she is nothing to be ashamed of. Well done for standing up to your abuser. Greg, Sally is so, so brave. I'm bawling here listening to her talk. Congratulations, cousin Sally. Justice at last. Justice, that's a word we actually haven't used yet, isn't
it? No, that's it.
I don't think we have, but you've got your justice.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, I'm just delighted, as I said, it's just that people believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew my family always believed me, but you just have that doubt. You know, and as I said, you... Because of my confidence, I say, I know, did it? You know, it didn't happen. Or,
I know.
I was sugarcoating it.
I think just to some extent now, I get the impression that I'm talking to you, Sally, and I think sort of 8-year-old Sally's here as well.
Yeah.
And now you've got justice for that 8-year-old Sally.
Yeah.
You need to sort of let her go a bit.
That's
and just be yourself and and be as optimistic and hopeful as you can be.
Yeah.
Because you've achieved it. You got your justice.
He's
in jail and you've got your beautiful family around you.
Yeah, I do.
Sally, anything else you want to say?
No.
And I hope it hasn't been too traumatic for you.
No, thanks. I'm just hoping to do bad in the interview.
Oh, no, you did fantastic.
No, just thanks to everybody that, you know, as I said, my family were brilliant, you know. Like my husband sitting in the car now at the minute, like, you know, he just wanted to come up, like. And, I definitely have more positive than negative, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And it's really early doors too. It's going to take you a wee while to figure out what this means to you.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Sally Duddy, thank you so much for calling down.
Thanks.
There's absolutely no doubt you've had a positive impact on people, and there's absolutely no doubt, I'd have no doubt too, that you have maybe given someone the courage themselves. And I'm thinking of maybe someone who's been dealing with this themselves for 20 years, 25 years, 10 years, 5 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
It could feel like a lifetime.
That's it.
But you can quiet down, you can get yourself justice. And I think too, as drawn out and protracted as it is, I'm encouraged too that your experience with the guards and the court service,
no
one wants
good.
To go through it,
no.
But that didn't add to your trauma.
You know, it's certainly not a victim-friendly place.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it took 10 years, but, like, that's the system, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and, but I'm glad that I stuck with it.
Right, I'm sending you away with a couple more here.
Okay.
So happy he was found guilty, but he should have got at least 10 years sentence for this sort of crime. That's far too short. Sally, you are brilliant, so brave, sending you love. Sally Doddy, you are the bravest person. That was so encouraging to those who are going through the same. We need more strong women to call out abusers. And I just want to say that woman is giving so many other women so much strength. I was a married woman, brutally and sexually abused for years by my own husband. I understand how she blames herself, as I do, but she was an innocent child. She was not to blame. He was and is a monster, and he stole those years.
Yeah.
She should have been loving life without a care in the world. I want to thank Sally for her bravery. We'll leave it at that
thank
on a
you.
Nice note, yeah. Sally. Is that okay?
That's great. That
thank you
great.
So very much. Thanks to himself for calling up as well. And you as well, too. Appreciate it. Okay,
thanks,
we'll be back with more shortly. What a woman Sally is, says a listener. God bless her. And another well done to Sally. What a lady. I hope that life will only get better for you. Very good interview. And it's all down to her, really. And hopefully now she's got the word out, and hopefully now she can crack on. And heal is that word that lots of people were using in such an affectionate way towards Sally.